from Banu Rabi'ah. Banu Rabi'ah are an Arab tribe in the land of Iraq. They told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're going to support you, but we have a condition. If you are victorious, when you pass away, we want you to transfer power to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Kingdom belongs to Allah and Allah will give it to whomever He wishes. He did not accept this condition and refused their help, even though he was in great need of help. But he turned down the offer. Why? Because there was some dunya involved. And another tribe, they came and they offered Rasulullah ﷺ help, but they said, we can protect you from the Arab side, but we cannot protect you from the Persian side. Rasulullah ﷺ said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ يُحَاطُ مِنْ كُلِّ جِهَاتِهَا وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, this is a matter that needs to be protected from every side. You can't protect me from one side and leave it open from the other. But when the Ansar came to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made it very clear to them what he wants. He said, you protect me just like you protect your children, your families, and your wealth. Meaning you're going to fight for my sake. And you might end up sacrificing your life and your wealth in doing so. The Ansar said, that is your side of the bargain. What are we going to get? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, Jannah. I have nothing else to offer you. Jannah. What did the Ansar say? قَالُوا رَبِحَ الْبَيْعَ لَا نَقِيلُ وَلَا نَسْتَقِيلُ. They said, this is a very profitable deal. We will never give up. Here you have an agreement between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Al-Ansar radiyallahu anhum, and the contract is very clear. You sacrifice everything in dunya and expect nothing in return except in akhirah, Jannah. Now what is the story of Ahl al-Ukhdud? And then I'll get into why it is especially important now that we talk about it. The ayat in Quran, I'll start with giving the hadith first and then we'll get to the ayat when we have the translation ready. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, and many of the scholars associate it to the story in Surah Al-Buruj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is again in Sahih Muslim, there was a king, and he had a sorcerer, a court sorcerer, magician. And this magician was growing old in age. So he told the king, it's about time that you appoint an apprentice to learn the trade and take up this responsibility since I'm getting old in age. So they chose for the king a very bright young man. The king chose a very bright young man to be the student of this sorcerer. They chose the best. So this young man would leave in the morning and go and study under the magician. On his way, he passed next to a monastery and he heard these verses coming out, so he was curious. He went in to investigate the matter and he found out that this was a Muslim group. They were Christian, but they were Christian, true Christians, followers of Isa alayhi salam, who believed in the oneness of Allah. So this young man happened to attend the ceremony delivered by the priest, and he was very impressed by what he heard. So every day in the morning he would pass next to the monastery and go and spend a few hours there studying under the priest. So when he gets to the sorcerer, it's too late, so the sorcerer would beat him up. And then on his way back he would also pass by the monastery, so his parents would beat him up. He's late on his way out and late coming back. So he told the priest, what should I do? The priest told him, in the morning when you visit me and go to the sorcerer, tell him that my family delayed me. And when you go back to your family, tell them that the sorcerer delayed me. So that was a fine arrangement and it worked out. So he was studying both arts. He was studying sorcery and he was studying Islam from this priest. Once there was a beast, an animal that attacked the marketplace, and everyone in there failed to defeat this animal. So the young man said, this day I will determine who is on the right path, the sorcerer or the priest? And he picked up a rock and he said, "Oh Allah, if the religion of the priest is more beloved to you than the religion of the sorcerer, then kill this animal." And he threw the rock and the animal fell dead. So that was a karama. It was a karama for him, a miracle. The young man went to the priest and he told him what happened. SubhanAllah, the priest told him, "Oh my son, on this day you have become superior to me. Allah has fulfilled the karama on your hands. You have a higher status than myself." And then notice what he said. He said, "Thus you will be trialed. You will be tested. Tests are on their way. Since you have reached this level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you." And I want to stop here for a moment. If a Muslim makes the claim that they are believers, if they say, "We are mu'mineen," that claim must be verified. If you make that claim with your mouth, with your tongue, be assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will verify that claim. Now, in general, in the Muslim Ummah, during the past decades, for example in the 60s and in the 70s, the predominant banner that existed in the Muslim world was communism, socialism, nationalism, secularism. So the people were not tested. However, now the predominant call in the Ummah is what? La ilaha illallah. Now Muslims around the world are saying La ilaha illallah. And they're making that public. Therefore, we should expect that the Ummah would go through a lot of trials in the upcoming years. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Am hasibtum? Am hasib an-nas? Ayyutraku ayyakulu amanna wa hum la yaftanun." Do the people think that they can claim to be believers without Allah verifying their claim? Fitna. The people will have to go through fitna. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَيَعْلَمَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. So that Allah Azza wa Jalla will know the ones who are truthful and the ones who are lying. The ones who are believing and the ones who are hypocrites. Just like when you go through college, School of Engineering, and you're going to go out and tell the world that I'm an engineer, you're going to be tested. This college will put you through tests to verify your claim so that you don't go out and claim to be an engineer when you're not qualified. And the test will be, in a way, it will determine whether you are a failing student or a passing student. But there are also tests that will take care of the fine-tuning to tell if you are an A student or a B student or a C student. And then there are going to be some questions on the exam to determine whether you are an A plus or an A minus. The same thing Allah Azza wa Jalla will test you, whether you are a mu'min or a munafiq. And if you are a mu'min, what status of iman are you in? Because the population of Jannah is like a pyramid. You have a lot of people on the lower levels, but then it narrows up. Until you have on the top of Jannah, you have a place reserved for one person and one person only. And that's for who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it narrows. You have a lot of people in the lower levels and then it decreases and decreases and decreases until you have a station which is called al-wasila. And that's for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. So there will be tests to place you in these different levels. So the priest told the young man, "You will be tested. And if that happens, do not disclose my name. Don't tell them that I'm the one who taught you this." Now, your initial response to this might be, or the thoughts that might come up in your mind, is that this is a scholar who is afraid. He's telling this young man, "Don't give up my name. Don't disclose this story. Don't tell them that I taught you." But you will recognize that This is not true.